We read this last week, and I want to build off of it, and so I will remind you. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I too was fortunate enough to have parents that know who Jesus is, taught me who Jesus is. Imagine, if you will, being 3 or 4 years old and getting one of those on Monday, perhaps one on Tuesday, maybe a couple on Thursday, for 18 years, around the table, or on the front porch, or out cutting wood, but usually when you were in trouble. So Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Especially Friday. But even through that, and because of that, as you look back upon life, I'm very grateful. And I would imagine that when you look back upon your life, and it may be in the form of instruction, solicited or unsolicited, it may be in the form of blessing, but you will probably find that there are many, many reasons to be grateful. Many, many reasons to give thanks. And I'll bet that even if you look back upon the year of 2020, there are ways and times and moments where you can be thankful, where you ought to be thankful, where you ought to express gratitude. Last week we had the privilege of listening to Kyle Spence's testimony, or at least part of his testimony, and it's really a very much a family testimony, although as he mentioned, it's a little bit different for every person in the family. And we were able to see, I think, in a very vivid way, we were able to talk to somebody, listen to somebody who's walked through fire and seen the grace of God, the work of God, even in the midst of difficulty, hardship, even in the midst of a storm, in the midst of the pruning, if you will, and how through those things we can come closer to Jesus Christ. How do we confront adversity? How do we confront difficulty? How do we confront trouble in our lives? Do we confront it as the cynic does? Here's the problem. We confront hardship and difficulty and trouble in our lives like a victim. We're not victims. You're not a victim. You're a saved person by Jesus Christ, a son and daughter of the King. Your princes and princesses, hold your head up, carry yourself like such. Because that's what you are if you believe in Jesus Christ. And you see the world around you, you see creation, you see even hard stuff, difficult stuff, and you can hit your knees and be thankful for the very creation that you are, the opportunities that you have been given, and the character that comes through adversity. We have an obligation to express gratitude. And every time we have an obligation to do something in Scripture, you will find that it's not for Christ's good. It's for our good. His glory. His worship. But it's always for our good. And so I challenge you to express thanksgiving in your life on a daily basis. on a weekly basis, yearly basis. Gratitude is an outward, intentional expression of thanksgiving. Gratitude is not just existing, being thankful. It is expressing the joy in your life, the peace in your life, through word or deed or worship or obedience or however you may express it, but expressing that thanksgiving. It's not just a state of being. It is intentionally, it is active. Because of this, expressions of gratitude, as I mentioned last week, are probably, or is probably, the greatest tool that we have to strengthen and build our faith in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. It's probably one of the greatest tools we have to strengthen and build our relationships between each other. Because you can find this reason to be thankful for another person. You can find reasons to be grateful in a relationship with another person. It's easy to find faults with other people. I mean, shoot, anybody can do that. You can probably find a fault with me if you look really, really hard. But we can find ways and reasons and moments and specific actions that we can perform in order to express gratitude even in our relationships with one another. Gratitude is one of the foundations of the church, one of the foundations of the Christian walk. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Once again, thank you for right now, for this moment. Father, we realize that even this Sunday morning worship right here is a gift that you have granted us. And we're all here using this gift. And so we thank you for it. Father, we thank you for the people to our right and to our left. We thank you for the people who are sitting behind us and in front of us. They're very, very special to us. We know, Father, you created each one of those people and that you have a mission and a purpose for all of us. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the word for instruction. We thank you that you've given us generations to come before to try to get that instruction to us. So, Father, we ask that you'll open now our minds, our hearts, particularly our hearts now, to know that we can be thankful and express gratitude to you for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, that's just where we're going to start. There's a couple of verses that we're going to go through, but they will be on your screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. What does the Bible have to say about expressing gratitude? What does the Bible have to say about, and you could use expressing gratitude, you can use expressing thanksgiving, being thankful, you know, this expression, however you want to say it. Well, the Bible has a lot to say, and we've got 30 minutes. So we're going to narrow this down to some of the main points that Scripture has to talk about when it comes to being thankful. And throughout the next few weeks, we're going to look at the why, the when, and the how. The why, the when, and the how of expressing gratitude. But before we get into any of that, we need to look at the what. What does the Bible say about gratitude? Understanding this, I think, is going to help us understand everything else. And you can think about this. I've got these in 4 points, there are 4 points that you can chew on, that you can meditate on as we go into this season of gratitude. And the first point is this. I don't know if I have these on the screen or not. I don't know if I put those on. If I don't, you can write them down or you can get my notes from me. First point is this. Followers of Christ should be thankful because of their everlasting state and their mission. Followers of Christ should be thankful because of their everlasting state and mission. They should be thankful for the opportunities afforded them to serve in an unshakable kingdom, not just temporary circumstances. We cannot base our gratitude and our thanksgiving upon temporary circumstances. That's where happiness comes from. All right, that's where happiness comes from. That's where anger comes from. Temporary circumstances. We want something deeper than that. We want joy. We want peace. What is peace? Peace is joy in the midst of chaos. And so, as we reflect upon our lives as creations, we ought to be every day grateful, thankful for our everlasting state. Our everlasting state is not one of pain and hardship. It's not one of rejection. Our everlasting state is one of peace, one of joy, one of forgiveness. Our everlasting state is so grand and so glorious that you and I, at least on this side of the grave, have a hard time seeing what that actually is. That's okay with me. I don't mind that. I don't know. I don't mind if I don't have all the details because my King is there and I want to be with Him. Jesus is there. I want to spend some time with Jesus. We ought to be thankful for our mission. And this is one of the unless you study this is hard to wrap our minds around. This is one of the biggest questions that people ask in their life. What is my mission? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What's the purpose of it? And this is where so much anxiety comes from. This is where so much depression comes from. This is where such a hard and untruthful view of ourselves comes from. Because we've not been able to articulate our mission, our reason, our purpose. And if you can do that, which you ought to be able to do that through Jesus Christ, you're a step ahead of the rest of creation. Our mission is to live our lives to bring glory to our Creator, to introduce this Creator to the rest of creation. And this is what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. He's looking for Titus, and he's a little bit uneasy. He's on edge. He says this, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, still, I had no peace of mind. Why? Because I didn't find Titus there. I was looking for him." I added that part. "So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia." Look at verse 14. "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives." He uses the word captive a lot. That is servant, that is saved, captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Look at this. "And uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere." That's your mission. That's your purpose. Using us to spread the pleasing aroma, the way Paul writes it, to people everywhere. You ever notice when it's an aroma, it consumes you? I used to do this with Sam. The older he gets, the less I do this, and that is smell him. But you breathe him in, right? It's almost as if it becomes a part of you. This is why. I mean, you're very close to this. What else does aroma do? More than anything else, more than sight, more than touch, even more than sound, aroma brings back some memories, doesn't it? It brings back some peaceful times, some joyous times. And I love the reason, the way Paul uses aroma, that you and I, every day of our lives, every time, every moment you wake up, you know that you have a reason, a purpose, a mission in this life, that you are not created for nothing. You're created for something incredibly special. And every time you live out your mission, you give every person you come in contact with the opportunity to be saved forever. You're in the business of saving lives. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? That's an incredible mission to live out. That's an incredible purpose for every person who believes in Christ. See, these are the reasons we can wake up in the morning, even with all the aches and pains as you get a little bit older, and we can thank Jesus Christ. Because every day we know that we have a purpose. And this is what Paul understands, even in a time of anxiety, a troubling time because he can't find Titus. Look at verse 15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. This pleasing, consuming safety and love and forgiveness of Christ. I like what Hebrews 12 has to say. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and this is on your bulletin, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and in awe. We have a chance to be thankful and grateful every morning because we have opportunity. We have opportunity to speak. We have opportunity to serve. We have opportunity to live. We have opportunity to not just exist, but make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Everything temporary in your life that you gain either sadness or happiness or anger from comes and goes. But this mission that Paul is on, this mission that you and I are on, never stops. It never ceases. It never is taken away from you. Now, there are those who choose to go through life with blinders on. They choose to go through life numb. They choose to fail to embrace the significance and importance of an eternal life, an eternal work in this world. They get consumed then by sadness, by confusion, by even depression and anxiety. They have a very low opinion of themselves because they do not see themselves through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And if you see yourselves through the eyes of Christ, you find that even your very being is something to be thankful for, to express gratitude. When I read these things, I am reminded of Psalm 8. This is, again, David writing. He says this, Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place. Look at this. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. See, Paul has just got done telling us that our job, our purpose, our mission, of which he expresses gratitude, is to spread the aroma of God himself. And David reflects upon the grandeur of our Creator and says, who are we that you should even consider us? What an incredible place to be. What an incredible mission to receive. We ought to, and I'm not talking about pride, I'm not talking about arrogance, but brothers and sisters, you ought to get up every day, look in the mirror for who you are and what you are. Say, I'm very special. I'm very important because I have a mission in this life. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. The wicked do not express gratitude to God, but rather glorify themselves. The wicked do not express gratitude to God, but rather glorify themselves. There is a big difference between self-glorification and humble gratitude. And one of the key areas we see this, and you find this today, but you find this throughout life, is Paul writing to Timothy as he's expressing what's going to happen as the gospel begins to spread around the world. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he writes this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And he goes so far as to say what? Have nothing to do with such people. Can we see the difference between humble gratitude and self-glorification? Can we see the difference in the heart, the Christian mind, between an expression of thanksgiving and always wanting, always wanting, always wanting, building our own kingdoms? And this is what Paul refers to not only as wicked people, but again, and I think some of the harshest words in Scripture, have nothing to do with them. This is the one, this is the person, this is the mind, this is the heart. Rather, it's the hole that's never filled. Because the only focus is on self. The only focus is on the temporary. Notice through all of this, by the way, as Paul explains this, this lack of gratitude. Notice what goes along with it as you look at these various traits here. Notice the lack of peace in these people's lives. There's no gratitude, so there's no peace. There's no contentment. There's no strength. There's no courage. There's no joy. Oh, there's a lot of loud boasting. But there's nothing solid, nothing concrete. The wicked do not express gratitude to God, but rather glorify themselves. It is the righteous that intentionally express their gratitude. Number three is this. It is through gratitude and thanksgiving that we praise God for who He is and what He is, identified as a person of God and loved by God. One of your greatest forms, one of your greatest expressions of worship, church, is thanksgiving. It is gratitude being expressed. You know, we can sing songs, and there isn't anything wrong with that. We can study Scripture, and there isn't anything wrong with that. You know, we can do this, and we can serve there, and we can work here. But if we leave out our expressions of gratitude, church, you leave out worship of Jesus Christ. Again, going back to the Psalms of David, we finished up with verse 5, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Verse 6 then says this, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm, and when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To the Lord I called, to the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. This psalm of thanksgiving not only praises God in the time and in the moment, but remembers back his past faithfulness in our lives. This is worship through thanksgiving, and I submit to you that nobody knows how to worship God better than David does throughout Scripture. I don't know if anybody knows how to annoy God better than David does, too, if you ever look at his life. But he knows how to worship. He knows how to be grateful. He knows how to be thankful. And you might have done a few things in your life. You might have done a few things yesterday that might annoy God. But that doesn't mean he drops you off. That means he gives you another day, another moment, another chance to express thanksgiving to him for who he is and what he is. This psalm is a statement of God's character. And it is so wonderful that praise is the only appropriate response that comes from David. The final reason is this, the final thing we see about thanksgiving in Scripture is this. I don't want to say the final thing that we have today. There's a ton of stuff in Scripture about thanksgiving, about expressions of gratitude. But the final one is this. Our greatest expression of thanksgiving is the fruit we bear. Our greatest expression of thanksgiving is the fruit we bear. You ever have a hard time articulating, saying what you want to say, getting that point, that message across. You're probably thinking, no, but you do. Sometimes it's very difficult, even in our words and in our voice. Some are able to do this, their minds go and their mouths keep up. Sometimes, though, we want to move and we want to work and we want to show. And I think the fruit we bear really lends itself to that type of person, but it works for all of us. This fruit we bear is not just reproducing our faith in Christ, although that is important. We talked about that over the past few weeks leading up to this series. But it's also the fruit we bear in our own lives. And by the way, this is a result. The fruit we bear in our own lives is a result of salvation. It is not the cause of salvation. We don't earn more salvation by bearing fruit. We don't earn more love by bearing fruit. It is the result of being saved by Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as being thankful to Christ or for Christ and ignoring His desire for our lives. So as it relates to this personal fruit, what are we talking about? The first thing is this. You've heard this before from John 14. If you love me, you will obey my commands. This is personal fruit in our minds, personal fruit in our hearts, in our lives, in our expressions. And Jesus comes right out and says it. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Is there a better expression of gratitude? Is there a better expression of thanksgiving than to honor the commands of Jesus Christ throughout Scripture? The fruit we bear is an incredible way of expressing gratitude. You've probably heard this one before. Love God and love others, right? Love God and love others. In fact, in Galatians 5, Paul says that the fulfillment of the law is loving people around you. If you want an expression of gratitude for who Jesus is and what Jesus is, for your Creator, for what He has done and who He continues to be, there is no better expression of gratitude than the love you have for the rest of His creation. Think about your own children, for those of you who have children. Think about what honor is paid to you, what gratitude is paid to you when those around you love and honor your children. It's incredible when we love and honor and respect and uplift and serve those around us, we express gratitude to God for who He is and what He is. These are all parts of the fruits that we bear. What else are the fruits that we bear? Expressions of love. Expressions of love. And you find this in 1 Corinthians 13. You've heard that a million times, and you can read that for yourself, particularly these expressions of patience, these expressions of forgiveness. What better way to express our gratitude to Christ for being forgiven than by forgiving others? Let me ask you, if you don't forgive others, is there gratitude? I mean, can we even say that? We even honestly look at ourselves in the mirror and say, yes, I'm very thankful that Jesus has forgiven me, yet I'm not going to forgive others. I submit to you that's not even a possibility. It's an incredible form of gratitude. And finally, the fruits of the Spirit. You find this in Galatians 5. These are the ways our lives begin to change and the things that we pursue because of our pursuit of Jesus Christ, because of our submission and leading by the Holy Spirit. These are the results of a changed life, and they are the expressions of gratitude that Jesus Christ holds most dear. I think that we have an obligation to ourselves and to our King to express gratitude in word, express gratitude in song, express gratitude in prayer, express gratitude in study. But I also think that we have an obligation to express gratitude through obedience. We have an obligation to express gratitude through love for one another, peace and kindness and forgiveness. These are the things that give us the peace and the contentment that are lost upon the wicked, those who will not share in gratitude. By the way, I feel compelled to say this, and I've been thinking about this all morning. This is not, once again, a way to earn love from God. Okay? You got to get that square. It is not a way to earn salvation from God. The passage that just kept rolling over and over in my head on my drive here was Matthew 7. As somebody comes up to Jesus, basically in Matthew 7, and says, "Hey, look, didn't we perform miracles in your name? You know, didn't we drive out demons in your name? I mean, look at this fruit that we bear. Didn't we do? Didn't we do? Didn't we do? Didn't we do?" Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, none of this earns love and salvation. The first place we have to go is acknowledgement and relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have to ask yourself, what do I believe? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I do thank you that we get to worship you. I thank you, Father, that in light of a difficult year for some, a downright hard year for others, and an inconvenient year for many, I thank you that you still love us, that right now, today, this morning, we still have a mission, that we still have a purpose that we cannot lose. I thank you, Father, that you created us and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that every time we look back upon our lives, we see an incredible work of Jesus Christ bringing us to this place, this time, this moment. Father, I ask that as we leave this place, our perspective will be true, that we will remember not just the past blessings, but these moments and times right now as you lead us through our walk with Jesus Christ, preparing for us a future in glory because of nothing that we have done, but because of the incredible love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for creating each and every one of us and putting us here in this time and in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand and sing.
As we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
Rush Run a couple Saturdays ago. Last Saturday we had Trunk or Treat. Yesterday we had Fall Fest. You know what we're doing this Saturday as a church? nothing at all. So hopefully we'll get some stuff done at home, maybe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this incredible act of love right here that we get to worship with our friends and family. Father, we thank you that in all the walks of life, in all the ways, the paths and avenues that we could have traveled, we know who Jesus is, and we're saved because of that. Father, help us also to use that, to spread that same peace that we have to those around us as we live out our mission. Help us to be thankful, to be grateful for every time, every moment, every day that you give us to live out this purpose of this life. In Jesus' name.